In Tampa yesterday, medical researchers said that former Tampa Bay Buccaneer Tom McHale's death last year at the age of 45 may be connected to concussions received during his playing days, making him the sixth deceased former NFL player 50 or younger to have such brain damage. Doctors at Boston University's School of Medicine found a condition called chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, in McHale's brain. Lisa McHale is the widow of the late Tom McHale.
And really the reason that I'm here is that Tom is not alone. He is now the sixth confirmed case of CTE among former NFL players. And bearing in mind that only six former NFL players have been examined for CTE, I find these results to be not only incredibly significant, but profoundly disturbing.
The six players at the Center for the Study of Traumatic Encephalopathy are all former NFL players, ranging in ages from 38 to 50. One such player in the study is former Philadelphia Eagle defensive back and USF assistant coach Andre Waters, who shot and killed himself in North Tampa in 2006. Chris Nowitzki is the founder of the Sports Legacy Institute, based in Massachusetts. He said his group is studying the youngest case yet, an unnamed 18-year-old multi-sport athlete who had concussions playing football.
I believe this is enough evidence to declare that CTE is officially a public health crisis. 1 in 8 American boys plays high school football. 1.8 million kids participate in football. And yet we don't yet have a good handle on what those thousands of hits to the head that we take every fall do to us in the long term. Football is supposed to build futures, not take them away. So in light of this information, we ask that we continue to put a greater effort into research and education on the issue. We need to develop ways to actually intervene in these men's lives so they don't die in their 40s. We can't keep finding this by autopsy. We can't continue to stand by and watch these men die.
Nowitzki is the catalyst for this increased focus on the nature of concussions in professional football. The 30-year-old starred at Harvard as a defensive tackle before becoming a professional wrestler, but his career ended after a severe blow to the head. He later wrote a book on the issue called Head Games: Football's Concussion Crisis.
Now, for decades, we've disregarded concussions in sports, calling them dings and bell ringers and using them as punchlines for jokes. We did this, me included, because we thought concussions were benign. Today, we're releasing new evidence that brain trauma in football is not benign. We're here to declare there's a concussion crisis in football.
Dr. Ann McKee is an associate professor of neurology and pathology at the Boston University School of Medicine. She said CTE was first discovered in the 1920s and is most closely associated with boxing. She characterized CTE as the buildup of an abnormal protein called tau that accumulates inside the nerve cells of the brain and blocks their normal functioning. Dr. McKee says that repetitive trauma that triggers the disease begins in the athletes' brains that she has studied in their youth. She says after they retire, usually in their late 20s or in their 30s, they're no longer susceptible, and so they're thinking clearly at that time. But later, it becomes a major problem.
Sometimes 10, 20 years later, when they start to develop this insidious onset of these subtle behavioral changes, these subtle personality changes, maybe memory lapses, and then as they age, as they continue to live into their 50s, 60s, 70s, they develop a progressive cognitive decline and eventually dementia. And if they live long enough, they require advanced nursing care and institutionalization.
Dr. Robert Stern is Associate Professor of Neurology at Boston University's School of Medicine and co-director of the school's Alzheimer's Disease Research Program. He said that contrary to some reports, CTE is not the same as Alzheimer's disease.
CTE and Alzheimer's disease are distinct neurodegenerative diseases that both cause dementia. Like Alzheimer's, in CTE, the underlying brain changes don't just come out of the blue. They don't suddenly appear. Rather, the changes can begin years, if not decades, prior to the clinical presentation of dementia.
Dr. McKee also is quick to refute any claims that the onset of CTE is simply a part of the aging process.
Well, I can tell you that I've been looking at brains daily for the past 22 years, been looking at people from all different walks of life, and I can tell you I've examined thousands of brains from people in their 80s, 90s, 100s, even 110-year-old, and this is not a normal part of aging. This is not something you normally see in the brain.
Former Tampa Bay Buck Tom McHale played in the NFL from 1987 to 1995 and had a successful second career as an entrepreneur. He owned a McHale Chop House restaurant in South Tampa and later a second one in Brandon. And he was the owner of Max Sports Pub in South Tampa as well. His cause of death last May was ruled an accidental drug overdose. His widow, Lisa McHale, said her husband was suffering from addiction prior to his death, and because of that, she will never know whether the changes she was seeing in him was because of the CTE developing in his brain. She said after learning that her husband had CTE, it's opened up only more questions, not answers.
Once begun, is it possible to slow it down? And what about all those players in the game today? Not those just in the NFL, but those in college and those in high school. What is the risk to each of them? And what about my own 9 and 11-year-old boys at home who have just begun playing Pop Warner football? Is it possible that there could be any risk to them? If I am understanding the doctors correctly, not nearly enough is known about the answers to these questions. Well, if you ask me, I think there needs to be a much greater sense of urgency to learn a great deal more.